Hello and welcome to the Racing Postcast, proudly sponsored by Unibet. We've got competitive action in two sides of the country as well as over different codes, as we've got competitive flat action at Musselburgh to look forward to, including the 100 grand Queen's Cup. And we'll be heading to Haydock for a day of competitive jumps action, including the Unibet Middle Distance Veteran Series final. We'll look forward to that with our panel. My name is James Stevens, Race Post journalist and West Country correspondent. In the top right, joining me is tipster Robbie Wilders. In the bottom left, Harry Wilson, and the familiar face of Ed Nicholson in the other corner. We are going to head first to Haydock for the jumps. I'm recording this from Cheltenham, so there's a little bit of a preference for jumps, I'm afraid, where the ground, as we record on Thursday afternoon, is good to firm in places. And we're going to start with the 205, the JCB Challenger 2-mile hurdle series final handicap hurdle. And fresh from that memorable success for Rory McIlroy in the Masters, we'll be seeing another golfing themed winner with Graham McDowell and Brooks Koepka's Give Me Five, the favourite for our opener. He is a 9-4 favourite. Bluegrass at 7-2, Luttrell Lad 4-1, Well Educated 5-1, Schmilson 6-1, Oslo 10s, and Got Grey 21 Outsider. Harry, great to have you back on the show. Start us off with a winner, please.
Yeah, hi, mate. I've gone with a flyer on the outside, the Got Grey. Harry Skelton, Dan Skelton, obviously fighting for all the money they can earn. And this one's just caught the eye. Been running on soft ground and over a longer trip since he's had wind surgery. When he joined Dan Skelton, he'd had 11 runs where he hadn't been closer to the winner than 12 and a half lengths. But Dan Skelton managed to get him to win twice on good ground over 2 mile, basically on the bridle. He's just £3 lower than when a close second in a race that's thrown up a couple of winners at Market Raisin in September. And now he's back on his favourite ground. I think we could see a big run from Got Grey here.
Yes, that 20 grand, Harry, could be worth a hell of a lot of money in that title race for Dan Skelton. Of course, Got Grey, the rank outsider, is Harry's choice. Robbie?
Yeah, hi, James. I'm interested in Bluegrass for Stuart Edmonds. He was a very smart horse on the flat a few years ago. You might remember he finished third in the Dante for Aidan O'Brien. Take a little bit of time to get going over hurdles, but he's won 4 of his last 6 and went very close in one of those. The other one, he clearly wasn't right. He was pulled up quite early on. But he's just got the look of quite a progressive hurdle all of a sudden. And I know they're reportedly looking at going back on the flat with him, a couple of nice handicaps later in the season. So he's only winning by narrow margins. He's only going up a little bit during the weights. And I see no reason why he won't be very competitive in this one as well.
Yeah, 7-2 chance. And finally, Ed.
Yeah, really competitive race. Just chosen by the two experts here, two different horses. And I'm going to go for a third different horse. I'm going to go for Give Me Five. Harry Derham's horses are in good form. I think he's had 4 from his last 18 runners in the last 2 weeks. And this horse is in good form himself, having won last time out. We'll have to perform to the best of his ability. In fact, we'll have to record his best ever performance to win. But he is improving. He's 4 from 9 over hurdles. I love Harry Derham at this time of year, especially. Paul O'Brien's one of my favourite jockeys. Short price at 9-4. But yeah, I think he's the most likely winner in this race. I also wouldn't put too many people off Luttrell Lad because he does like Haydock. I mean, on the postcast, I have before tipped him up for races like the Swinton Hurdle at Haydock, and he finished 4th in it last year off a mark of 1.28. He's down the handicap a little bit. He does like Haydock, so I could see him running well on the ground as well. But yeah, I think Give Me Five to start things off at Haydock on Saturday.
We'll move on to the 240. This is the In Memory of Ian Chambers Challenger Stairs Hurdle Series Final Handicap Hurdle. Now, before we come on to the market and selections, Ed, Ian Chambers, somebody you know quite well. Tell us a bit more about him ahead of this memorial race.
Yeah, really sad news that Ian Chambers, who's head of racing on the trading side for Unibet, had been working for us for 12 years, and before that, Stan James, yet was only 44. He really, really sadly passed away from cancer 2 or 3 weeks ago. It was a really short illness. He didn't get diagnosed until September. And we've sponsored this race in his memory. We've got family and friends of Ian Chambers coming to the race course on Saturday. He's from the Liverpool area, so there'll be plenty of his colleagues, friends and family. So we're going to celebrate his life. And he was a really nice guy. very, very good at his job and just so tragically died so young. So, yeah, well, hopefully it's going to be a day that we can all remember him, and hopefully it'll be a good day's racing as well. But, yeah, really sad when these sort of things happen. And I'm glad that our company has been able to sponsor a race on ITV to mark his death.
A lovely touch, and we best all the best to Ian, his family, his friends, and Unibet team as well. Just before we come on to selection, just spin through the market. Favourite here is Burroughs Hall at 9-4, Langini 7-2, Thank You Mum 9-2, High Game Royal 5-1, Bold Recruit 7-1, and Tyre at 9-1, and Tiny Tetley, the rank outsider, at 10-1. Ed, you've talked a bit about the race itself. I'm sure you'd love to find a winner in Ian's race. What do you think is a likely winner?
Yeah, once again, it's a really competitive race, isn't it? The whole card at Haydock's on the ITV side of things is really competitive. I just favoured Burroughs Hall, who is going to go off probably favourite. Has been a bit of support for him in the early skirmishes. He's on a roll. He's on a four-timer. I'm a big fan of Danny McAmenham as well. He's a really good jockey. He won the Unibet Greatwood Hurdlers at a conditional seven-pounder, and I've been following his career ever since. And he's made a big name for himself in the north. I think Burroughs Hall's got the form in the book to go exceptionally well here. Off a rating of 117 in this particular race, he has been winning, obviously, off ratings lower than that. So, again, he will have to put in a career-best performance. But his run last time out at Doncaster when he won off a rating of 112 suggests he's still improving. He also makes all, which is handy for a track like Haydock. They do tend to not come back at Haydock. So I think there's a lot of positives in what is a competitive race. It's not a big bet for me, but I'll be siding on Burroughs Hall.
To complete a fabulous four-timer, of course, Burroughs Hall. Robbie, are we taking on the favourite, or is he going to continue his good run?
Yeah, no, I'm taking on that favourite, James. I quite like Antioria for Jonjo and AJ O'Neill. Admittedly, you could not fancy him in this season's form. He's been well beaten, but he's been running in better races. He didn't take to chasing at the start of the season, missed about 18 months with injury. But if he ever returns back to the sort of form he showed in the spring of 2023, he's gonna go very close off this mark. He's a stone lower than when he was close up sixth from the Potemps final. He's just looking like, I get the impression that they've been working back to a spring campaign with him. He's always been one for sort of better ground, been running on soft through the winter. He's arriving fresh from 70 days off. He's got a good record following breaks. And I could see the money coming for him. I don't think he should be one of the outsiders here.
Harry Wilson, you're teaming up together on this selection.
Yeah, I completely agree with everything that Robbie said. It's also useful that his only start at Haydock he won, and that was this race 3 years ago, £4 lower mark. The way I looked at this race is Burroughs Hall, Thank You Mum, Tiny Tetley, they all like to front run. If there's a bit of like taking each other on for the lead, you could just find this setting up for one just behind the leaders. I would just give a quick shout to Thank You Mum, who beat Manella Rescue last time. That didn't look great at the time, given she's rated £9 higher. He's rated £9 higher than that one, but he finished second in the Sefton Novices, the Grade 1 at Aintree. So that form has taken a good boost in recent weeks. But Antioch for me.
Antioch for Harry. Let's move on to the 3:15. Our last race we'll be looking at Haydock. And a bit of a special one as well. I can see Ed's face already lighting up for it. This is the Unibet Middle Distance Veterans Handicap Chase over 2.5 miles. We've enjoyed following this series throughout the course of a jump season, and plenty of our old favourites back in action. And the favourite is Eldorado Allen at 7-2. Well, we'd love to see him win, wouldn't we? The Flyer Begley at 9-2. The Widowmaker 11-2. Dubai Days 13-2. Numitor at 7-1. Of course, winner of a race last season. Now, before I come to you guys, let's hear from Numitor's trainer, Heather Main, about the chances of a repeat win.
Oh, he's really well. He's ready. This has been our aim the whole season, and we're ready to go.
So last year, he came here as a bit of an outsider at Haydock. I mean, he won really well. But this year, I think it's all about Numitor. He's running three of our qualifiers. He's obviously the champion. And he won over 3 miles last time out at Ascot. Now, you said he might not stay 3 miles, but he did it so well.
Yes, I mean, that wasn't the plan, but it ended up being his prep race for the final on Saturday. And we didn't know that he'd stay, and we weren't even sure. He had run on quicker ground, but with a big horse like that, you're never quite sure. But he loved the ground, and he loved the 3 miles.
Okay, so that was Heather Main on Numitor. Ed, you like this horse. I know you like this horse. It's no secret. Do you fancy him to do the job again?
I do. I don't know whether it's heart over head, but we were at the stables, as you saw earlier in the week. He's such a lovely horse. And he is the poster boy for this series. He's running three races, three qualifiers this season. He won the £100,000 final last year. And he's improving. I know we always talk about the veteran chasers and it gives a chance for them to win one big pot, their day in the sun for the final time. But he might have 2 days in the sun because he won the final last year and I think he's going to win again. He's now rated 142. That's the highest he's ever been rated. He has to win this race off a £13 high mark, which you would think is some tall order for an 11-year-old. But he is improving. That last performance at Ascot, he won over 3 miles. They've never thought he would stay 3 miles. Apparently, James Bowen said that he jumped like a buck and he was always going to win. When he questioned him to quicken, he was worried that he might not find much because of what the team at Heather Mains had said. But he quickened away quite nicely and won really well. So I can't believe his price, to be honest. I thought he'd be nearer the top. On form, obviously, he does need to improve again, given his weight and given his rating, rather. But he's a horse that absolutely loves 2.5. He pings. I know Alan Johns, who retired from race riding, was telling me yesterday that James Bowen was talking to him and said that he's never been on a horse that jumps so neatly around Ascot. And, you know, his jumping is a real bonus. And that Haydock, we know jumping is a premium at that track. And he's done it before. He likes better ground as well. He won this in soft ground. They didn't want it to be sticky, but it will be good. He's shown that he can go a little bit further if the pace is strong. There's not much to not like about the horse at around about 8 or 10 to 1. The only issue is the extra poundage, the extra weight, the extra rating. The form in with Dubai Days would suggest that Dubai Days, who came second last year, would run him close. And there are other good horses in the field. Lamilos obviously going for the Skeletons. They would love to win this pole, wouldn't they? But he's only won once since winning the Coral Gold Cup in his day. So I think all systems go for Numitor. Come on, Numitor, that's what I say. And incidentally, we are going industry best price on this race, as you would expect with the fact we sponsor it. So there's no, you can, don't go anywhere else for this race. From 9 o'clock Saturday, we will be the best price in the industry on every single horse.
Yeah, of course, Numitor, brilliant winner here at Cheltenham, actually, just remind me earlier in the season. Robbie, well, there's no place for favourites and thing for you, is there? You just want to find the winner of a race.
No, thanks. No, yeah, too right. Too right, mate. I do appreciate what Ed's saying, Numitor. It's weird to see a horse progressing at his age. And, you know, he won over 3 miles last time. That was actually the first time he's ever run over 3 miles, which is quite interesting. He's back in trip now. Got a chance. I thought... at the prices, Whistle in the Dark, I'm going to give another chance to. I've napped him on this show when he last ran in the middle of February, but he let us down. He was a big plunge horse, coming quite a bit, went off joint favourite. He got the second last all wrong at Haydock. He's effectively pulled up after that. I'm going to give him another chance because on his second to Lamilos, a week earlier, he looked like a horse that was very much coming to hand. He's been given a nice time off of that. I think that run just came a bit too soon. The Haydock run after that show of Lamilos against him a week earlier. He's been rated 141, 142, 144, that sort of mark, only about 18 months ago. So he's definitely well treated. He wants good ground. He's going to get it. And I think this could be the day it all comes together for Whistle in the Dark.
14 to 1, that's what we love to see on the postcards. Always looking for value, aren't we? Harry, we know you like to take on the favourites in this. Are you taking on Eldorado Allen?
I am, but this is definitely head against heart because I do love Eldorado Allen. I find it's quite incredible to have so many veterans in form in a final. There are loads of horses coming in with winning form. The one that I've sided with last year's runner-up, Dubai Days, he really impressed me winning over course and distance first time out. He usually takes a couple of starts to hit his peak. And he ran well over 3 miles, which he was patiently ridden to try and get the trip last time. He's much better suited by these middle distance races, and better ground will suit as well. He's £8 better off with Numitor than last year. Obviously, Numitor is in arguably the form of his life, but that £8 swing and better ground, I think, might just swing it in the favour of Dubai Days here.
Yep, going for the in-form horse. Right, that wraps up. We'll be looking at Haydock. We're going to turn our attention to flat. We're going to head to Scotland for 4 races for Musselburgh after this short break. So we turn our attention to the flat now. We are at Musselburgh, where the ground is good to soft in places at the time of recording on Thursday afternoon. And the first race is the 150, the live score bet. Best odds daily, Royal Mile Handicap, Carl. But won this race with Ice Max last season. He's got another big contender with Castle Stewart. Who is your 5-2 favourite for our opener? We've got Invited, 11-4, Zawal, 9-2, Hot Dancer, 5-1, Wiltshire Lad, Ocean Murphy having a bit of a rare time up at Musselburgh on Saturday. He's got a 6-1 chance. We Dare to Dream, 14-1. Our Mighty Mo 16s and Thunder Wonder at 33s. Harry, what do you like in the opener?
Yeah, this is one of my strongest bets of the day, James, and it's Wiltshire Lad. I think you struggle to find an 83 rated runner who's got the juvenile form of this one. On his debut at Doncaster, he finished fourth behind New Century, who won a Grade One. In third place that day was Field of Gold, who, as everyone seems to think, is going to win the 2,000 guineas now after his Craven demolition. While the fifth has won 3 times since, and it's rated 104. So that is incredibly strong form for a debut run. The horse that beat him at Chester is rated 96. The Yarmouth novice that he finished fifth in, the first three of all won since, are in the 80s, 90s. And he made arguably a mockery of his opening mark. Went up to a mile in the first time visor at Southall at the back end of last season. He beat a horse called Bryn Davin, who Invited has just beaten. On a line through that one's form, he has the beating of Invited here. And I'll be absolutely shocked if he doesn't rate higher than 83 by the end of the season, especially since he switched from, obviously, the recent retired Sir Michael Stout to Andrew Balding, who is absolutely flying along at the minute. So Wiltshire Lad, probably my best bet of the day.
A strong selection there in Wiltshire Lad. But Harry, I'm not think you're done yet. You mentioned Field of Gold after his impressive Craven Stakes win this week. You said everybody thinks he's going to win the guineas. You're one of our top tips. Do you think he's going to win the guineas?
I'm a bit apprehensive, James.
I thought you might be.
It's one of those races. I'm not a fan of the trials anyway. I think he was slightly flattered by the way the race panned out, to be honest. Wimbledon Hawkeye, I think, arguably needs the ground softer, and he tracked a fast pace. Aomori City, is he ever going to win again? He's probably not, and he raced well. There's no doubt he showed an impressive turn of foot. He travelled lovely through the dip Field of Gold, and that's going to make him a big player in the guineas. But when you've got horses like Twain and horses like that who have won Group 1 as a juvenile, I think 11-4, I wouldn't be rushing in to take that price at the minute.
Yeah, okay. And Wiltshire Lad is strong selection in the 150. Robbie, I'll just come to you on those two guineas. Anything caught your eye from the anti-postman with you to Newmarket in what?
I'm interested in the Scorfie Champ at the moment. I think he's just rock solid, his juvenile form. He's being aimed at the race. And just think he probably deserves to be a bit short than 8-1 or whatever he is for Joseph O'Brien. But back to this race. Yeah, I think Harry makes an excellent case about Wiltshire Lad. He was almost my selection. I do think the form lines are working out well. It's clear they are. And Andrew Borden's flying. He's improving a lot of these horses he's getting from Stout. I just thought Hot Dancer could be very well handicapped as well for Charlie Johnston. he ran a very good race in second behind a smart horse called Tuscan Hills, who came out and won a Pontefract listed race by about four lengths next time. This was in August, and Tuscan Hills has got an end and everything, really. He's got Guineas entries, Derby entries. He looks as a very smart prospect for Ammo. And on his third run to qualify for a mark, he just basically raced way too keenly on heavy ground at Nottingham behind a very smart-looking horse called Geffen, who's been getting Derby quotes recently after an impressive recent victory. This horse, Hot Dancer, on his fourth run, handicap debut, goes off 74. I would be surprised if he wasn't a little bit better than that. And you look at his pedigree, he's a half-brother to the Johnstons' Dance in the Grass, who is fifth in the 1,000 guineas a couple of seasons ago behind Morge on his return. Basically, he's bred to be a stakes performer. He's also a half to Fane and Madness, a smart horse of Rafe Beckett. So, good pedigree. I think he'll be better than 74, and I think he's got every chance as well.
Strong fancy for Hot Dancer there. We'll just come on to you, Ed, finally on the 150. What do you like?
Yeah, first of all, Field of Gold is 5-2 with us for the 2,000 guineas. We're the shortest in the village. Our odds compilers were quite impressed by his performance, as I think a lot of people were. Going through the Musselburgh card, it's a beware message, I think, because this is the meeting that Newmarket trainers love to come and try and win. The prize money is good prize money in Scotland for this meeting. All the top jockeys are there. All the good Newmarket trainers send up plenty of ammunition for the good races. I always find that it's difficult to tip winners or to back winners in this meeting because it's so competitive. And the tracks is so tight and the ground changes quite quickly. I think last year the ground changed by the time the races came from the time we went through it. And this particular race is a three-year-old handicap at the beginning of the season with many horses not having racing as two. It's fraught with danger. So I won't be having a bet. I respect the opinions about Wiltshire Lad. And, you know, Andrew Balding's horses are in such good form. 11 winners from his last runners, 44 runners in 14 days. And if you look at the RFT, running to form is 65%. So that's pretty, that is really high for that figure. So everything's running extremely well. And that's a good shout, I think, Wiltshire Lad. But I'm going to try to get on the mark with the favourite invited. George Bowie's now in charge. He was with Richard Hannon last year, but he hasn't run on turf. He hasn't won on turf. Sorry, two from three over the winter on the all weather. One last time out, and that was in a handicap up to 84. We'll have to improve again, I think. Has been backed in the early skirmishes. Invited, not a strong fancy. I think it's a really tricky card at Musselburgh, all the races we're going to look at. But, I'm just going to hopefully see a bit more improvement on turf from Invited, and he can go in the first on TV up at Musselburgh.
We move on to the 225 Musselburgh Virgin Bet every Saturday. Money back, Silver Arrow Handicap, where you mentioned some of the Newmarket trainers coming out. William Haggis is one of them because he's got your 5-2 favourite, Walifi. Here, Alizir, 9-2, Rocky Mountain Way 6-1, Guido 6-1, Ben Acre 7-1, Lord Bertie 8-1, Doing My Nuttin' at 10-1, brilliant name. Diligent Resdev 14s as well as Lexin Bell and Persuasion 20-1. Rank outsider, Robbie, you're with a favourite here.
Yes, I am. Kind of reluctantly because I did want to take him on at the start of the week. I nearly post punt on this race that I didn't get declared. I thought there might be a bit more juice in the ground. It's looking like it might be pretty good all round, really. I just think Walifi, I mean, we know about his pedigrees, closely related to Bayeed, the great Bayeed, of course, and Hukum, the King George winner. I've always thought he might be a little bit better over a mile, but I think maybe we just make a bit too much of trips and things like this. He's shown plenty of speed, to be fair, in his earlier races. I just think he's definitely well handicapped off 88. I think he's probably the best well handicapped horse in the race, and he might just get away with the trip. William Haggis doesn't send many up here. He's had 15 runners the last 5 years at Musselburgh. He's won 6 of them. I think it's interesting that Walifi's even coming up here. And I put him up as a horse to follow in the Racing Post flat guide at the start of the season. So I'm going to stick with him, but I think I'll probably resist the urge to actually back him at that price.
Okay, Harry.
I'm going to be taking him on, as you probably expect. I've gone with the local trainer, Kate Scott and Guido. So he's somewhat of a course specialist. He's four-time course and distance winner. Only finished out of the first three once in 10 starts over the course and distance. And that came when he was ridden wrong from midfield. He's a really hardy front runner. He's been a little bit disappointing, had a couple of long breaks, but Katie Scott looked to get him back last time at the Sunday series. He wasn't able to lead that day, but he really, really battled and only lost out to a well-treated one in the Havana. She's put the cheap pieces on today. He's £7 below his last winning mark, and his draw in stall three should allow him to attack. If he can get to the front, I think he'll be really hard to get past. So it's Guido for me.
Guido for Harry. Ed finishes off.
It's all been said before, but I'm going to go for Walifi. He's been favourite every time he's run. Eight times he's been favourite. And yeah, all the stats that have already been said by Robbie, I had written down William Haggis at Musselburgh being one of them. I just think he's probably still, Will's probably still improved, but William Haggis is such a good trainer at positioning his horses, placing his horses. When he goes to Musselburgh this early in the season, I think you should take notice. So, yeah, just, yeah, Walifi for me to continue to improve and probably go a favourite again, I would have thought, nine times out of nine.
Yep, two races to go, and we are looking next at the 3 o'clock at Musselburgh, the Virgin Bet Daily Price Boost Scottish Sprint Cup Handicap. We've got three course and distance winners at the head of the betting. Leading the way is American Affair at 11-4, Joe Bat 4-1, Monmouth Sleeve 5-1, Cover Up 7-1, JM Jungle 8, Twilight Fun 10s, Tattstall and Vince Lamore 12s bar. Robbie Wilders, what do we like in sprint? You've got a confident selection for us, don't you?
Yes, mate, I do. Just think a lot of these sprinters are returning. American Affair, Tattstall, JM Jungle, Jer Bat, and not had a run yet. I think these horses, we're going to get busy throughout the season. They're going to sort of come forward for it. I quite like in these sprints a horse that's had a lot racing over the winter, just as hard fit, and also a classy sprint in these handicaps, and Cover Up just ticks every box on that score. He won a listed race in Maidan in December. And he's run really well in a Group 2, went quite close in a Group 3 last time. He's back on British shores off of Mark 101. Simon Ned Crisford have clearly improved him. He was with John Fady Gosden last season. I never associate the Gosden stable for all their brilliance with sprinters, but he's clearly improved. I think he's still on a workable mark, though, off 101. The handicap hasn't really reacted to group exploits in Maidan.
So Cover Up at 7-1 for Robbie. Ed?
Yeah, another difficult race, I thought. We're going super boost in this race, so every horse we boosted to the next price up from 9 o'clock on Saturday. I should have said also the previous race, 225, we are going money back second or third as cash. That's our flagship offer. So the 225, the 0-95 handicap, that's money back as cash if your horse comes second or third. Terms and conditions apply. This particular contest, again, what I said at the beginning, it's a really tricky card. It's really tricky to know how fit these horses are going to be first time out. A horse like American Affair, who ran in some of the top sprints last year, finished off in the Airgold Cup, didn't he, when he was favourite? And he won the Portland before that, I think. So if he's fit and raring to go, he's got to have a decent chance. Again, I'm not going to play in this race. But American Fair has won at Musselburgh, is improving horse. Jim Goldie's horses were in good form. They're just coming out of form again now. But previously, the beginning of the month, he was flying. Paul Moranum gets on really well with this horse. I can see him being held up and coming with a late run from stall nine. So I'm going to go for American Affair. But yeah, there's so many dangers here that it's difficult to say with any confidence that the American Affair would win. But I'm going to go for American Affair.
Okay, and Harry.
Yes, James, I'm using the same form lines as Robbie, although I've gone for Jer Bat, who finished ahead behind Cover Up at Doncaster in soft ground when he was last seen. I thought he was the winner that day, and Cover Up came and got him near the line. He's £3 better off of him today. although cover up has seemingly improved in Dubai. But he also got the better of American Affair last season, Jerbat, and he's £1 better off with that one too. He goes really well fresh, and I think it's worth noting that his only start at Musselburgh, he absolutely bolted up. So I expect him to be sitting just behind the leaders and could prove hard to catch in the final furlong. So it's Jerbat for me.
Okay, let's move on to the last race. We're looking at 100 grand on offer here. And can Andrew Balding continue his excellent run after his full time at Newbury last weekend? Well, he's got the favourite here, Wild Ways, at 11-4. Oshie Murphy going up to ride as well. Could that be telling? Wise Eagle and Amerik at 7-1. Align the Stars and Kibar at 8-1. Chillingham and La Polga at 10s. Falak 12, Struff 14s. Emin at 16s, along with Luffville and Intenso, Lieber Power and Laffy at 33-1. Robbie Wilders, do we have a strong fancy here?
Yes, mate, I do. Wild Waves, I was really, really interested in him at the start of the week. I thought he was the biggest rick of all time. He was trading around 12, 14 to 1 with a few firms for this. I thought that's ridiculous. I wrote about him in Anti-Postman. Before it went out, he came into about 7-1. I thought that's still not bad, though. He's, what, sort of 7-2 now? I think that's the right sort of price. Just got a really interesting profile. I mean, he ran in the St. Ledger on his final start as a three-year-old. Just sort of lacked the speed with proper Group 1 horses there when push comes to shove in the final furlong. But he was rated, you know, he's rated the best part of £15 below everything. He's run against horses like Jan Bruegel in Illinois there. Before that, he was just really progressive in handicap. He beat East India Dock in his first start and staying race at Doncaster. Went wrong for him at Haydock next time, but he had an excuse. He just slipped on the turn. It was quite messy. And then he was a real eye catch, I thought, in the Melrose, fourth the Table Talk, who came out and ran really well and nearly won a listed race at Newbury last weekend. And the form line was already looking strong. Yeah, he just got a corner pocket in the Melrose, shape better than the result. And I just see that Andrew Balding's put him in the Yorkshire Cup, which is quite interesting. He's rated 100. I expect him to be better than that. He's by Crystal Ocean. He's got the pedigree to keep getting better and better as he stretches out. And I think he's got a favourite chance.
Confident selection from Robbie Wilders there. You got one for us, Ed?
I think I have, actually. I'm going to be back in Amerik to win here. If you look at his form, he actually runs well really when fresh. I think he's won after days, 50 days off, 252 days off, 238 days off. He's got good form in the book. He is the best horse in the race, obviously carries top weight, rated 107. And Carl Burke, he loves taking horses up to Musselburgh. He hasn't had a winner this season. He's had five runners. But over the last 3 years, he's had 20 winners from 65 attempts at Musselburgh. I think he did well at this meeting a couple of years ago as well. And given that the race is worth the amount of money it is, 51,000 to the win, 100 grand race altogether, you can bet your bottom dollar that Amerik's going to be fit, raring to go. And he does go fresh, does go well fresh, as we've said. So around about 10, 9, 8 to 1. I've seen that he's been nibbled at in the betting as well. I think it'd give you a good run for your money. You could even back him each way, but I'm going to go win Amerik.
And finally, Harry, your final selection on our last ITV race.
Yes, Jane, I kicked off the show with an outsider and I'm going to stick to form and pick Lieber Power at 33s. Stablemate of the favourite. He's one of them that he just improved slowly last year. Andrew Balding seemingly kept him back for the Racing League races, which could be quite telling this season. He won one of them, was unlucky in the next one, but the run that really caught my eye was at York's Ebor meeting. I don't know if you remember that meeting, but everything that was front rank was staying there, and you needed to be in the first few to even get anywhere near. And Lieber Power sat last, and he just stayed on so powerfully in the final couple of furlongs and just couldn't quite get to the leader. Obviously, it's a bit of guesswork that he'll stay this trip. But the way that he finished that race, he sort of shaped as if he would. And his two runs since Heavy Ground and his reappearance at Kempton should leave him spot on for this. He's 33-1. He's definitely worth some each way.
That is Musselburgh and Haydock, done and dusted. We'll be hearing what the boys believe is their best bet of the weekend after this short word from our sponsors.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out, you're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? You get a chance to win even bigger with 3 uni boosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Okay, it's that time in the show where we hear about everyone's best bets. Let's start with you, Ed. I can hazard a guess who it might be.
Yep, the Unibet final of the Middle Distance Veterans Chase Series at Haydock, £100,000 final. We've had 8 qualifiers, and the one I'm going to go for is last year's winner. He's running 3 of the qualifiers this season. Numitor can win back-to-back finals at Haydock. He loves this course, obviously having won last year, loves the ground. And James Bowen has been booked to ride, who has won on him before. So Brother Sean took the plaudits last year in this race. Let's say that James Bowen is going to do it for the Bowen brothers and for Heather Main Stable, Numitor, in the big race at Haydock.
At 3:15, of course. I'm going to stay at Haydock as well. I'm just going to go a bit boring this week. Give me 5 in the 2:05 at Haydock. I just think he's the best horse in the race. I think we've been teased as to what the boys, the top tipsters, like. Robbie, would yours come at Musselburgh, I wonder?
Certainly would, my friend. 3:35 at Musselburgh, the Queen's Cup, wild waves for Andrew Borden.
And Harry?
I'm going to side with Wiltshire Lad in the opener. His juvenile form is so strong, and he's got to be better than 83.
Yeah, that's, of course, in the 150 at Musselburgh. Thank you very much to Robbie Wilders in your top right. If you're watching on YouTube, Ed Nicholson, bottom right, and Harry Wilson, bottom left. My name's been James Stevens. As ever, if you do enjoy our shows, do make sure to rate, review, and subscribe so you don't miss a thing. And join us again next Thursday at 7 o'clock. We'll be looking towards that big day at Sandown. Season finale. Will it be Skelton? Will it be Mullins? Who knows? But we'll be sure to try and find you plenty of big winners on the final day of the jump season. But until next time, do make sure to enjoy the Easter racing. Goodbye, and of course, gamble responsibly.